This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 22. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. Yep, we've changed the name, folks. We had to change it because every time people search for Fantasy Focus in the iTunes store and in the other podcast directories, fantasy football and baseball and other sports podcasts kept coming up. So we're changing the name to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. And we promise you, if you search for that, you will see our show pop up pretty close to the top of the listings there. And thank you for bearing with us as we kind of hit these little learning curves along the way. Anyway, that said, the name says exactly what the show is. It is a show about books and authors. Whether it's epic fantasy, urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, or anything else, you can find the best books, the best authors from the fantasy genre here on the show. I'm looking forward to getting into our interview today, but let me just kind of touch base on a few things I've been working on. I'm actually looking at wrapping up my current first draft project on the urban fantasy game lit novel I've been working on. That's the first in what could potentially be a pretty long series, depending on what the response from readers looks like. I've kind of left it so that there's lots of open ideas for this character to explore in the world. And hopefully people like the stories and the character enough, I'll just keep writing stories for the foreseeable future. I can easily think of 7 or 8 different book topics that could fit into this particular storyline that would be fun stories to write. The main character is named Quinn Faust, and like so many of my books, she's like a totally kick-ass female heroine. She does have her share of issues, though, like we all do, but that's why good character development is important. Hopefully, I've been able to pull that off. It's important for me to write strong female characters because I have daughters, and they're grown now, but you know what? I always wanted to make sure they had female role models that were realistic and strong and could stand on their own 2 feet. And that's what I like to write. So hopefully you enjoy that too if you read my books. Anyway, as always, if you're interested in more information on what I'm up to in my books, you can check out my fan group over on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Superfans, or my Facebook page for authors. And that's over at jamiedavisbooks.com. Or Jamie Davis Books on Facebook. Let's go ahead and get into our interview now. I'm really excited about this week's guest. Dale Lucas set out to be a writer at the ripe young age of 5 or 6. And with only a few side jaunts into other things, he stuck with it. For instance, he did toy with such odd jobs as archaeology, movie special effects, screenwriting, and even directing films. He's published numerous short stories in various anthologies, as well as his popular Doc Voodoo horror fantasy novels. I'm really excited, however, about talking about his Fifth Ward series, which is about a pair of city watchmen trying to keep the peace in a medieval fantasy city. So think buddy cop show or police procedural set in your favorite fantasy book setting. You know, like people are at some random city in Robert Jordan's world, and yeah, you hear that Law and Order, bum bum, and here they come, right? So it's really fun. It's a good book to talk about. It's a good series, and I'm looking forward to having Dale here. So let's go ahead and get Dale in here to talk about things. Here's his interview. Hi, Dale. Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Books and Authors Podcast. It's really great to have you on the show.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Jamie. It's great to be here.
So I'm sure some people know who you are, but there are probably a few people in our audience that may not have read any of your books, and we want them to do that. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell them a little bit about yourself?
All right. My name is Dale Lucas, and I am a fantasy author. I actually like to say I'm just a writer of the fantastic because I love all that stuff, whether it's fantasy or horror or sci-fi. What people probably know me for is my series known as the Fifth Ward series from Orbit Books. the first book in the series was The Fifth Ward First Watch that came out in July of 2017. And basically, it's a cop buddy story set in like a pre-industrial, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, Middle Earthy type fantasy world, where we have a human and a dwarf partnered as on the ward watch in this big teeming city named Yanara. And they're walking the beat, they're solving crimes, they're solving mysteries, and zany antics ensue.
It sounds like a blast. I've got it on my to-read list for sure, because it just caught my eye right away. And I was happy to have you on the show to just chat about it, because it's kind of an interesting take on the fantasy. There aren't too many police kind of like mystery procedural kind of fantasy books out there. I can think of like Tamara Pierce wrote one with a female main character who played a cop position, but I can't think of any others off the top of my head.
Yeah, I remember when I first got the idea, one of the first things I do when I get a new idea is I kind of go looking for it to see if anybody's already and if I find a couple examples, that won't usually stop me. It's when I want to make sure it's just not something that's been beaten into the ground already. When I went looking for something similar to this, I mean, the first and most obvious thing I found were Terry Pratchett's City Guard.
That's true.
Series, which I have still never read. I'm aware of what they are, and I know they have I know that Terry Pratchett in general has a huge and rabid fan base and following. And by all accounts, he was a wonderful man. But I knew that I wasn't going to be going for a tone in the same sense that Terry Pratchett would in the satirical comedic thing. And I only found a couple other little examples here and there of like a few stories by this author or maybe like one book by that author. And so I was like, oh, good. This is something that nobody's really jumped all over yet. I can totally have fun with this.
Yeah, it's funny. Nobody I have met yet has done anything like paramedics for supernatural creatures in an urban fantasy setting, which is what my first series was.
Sean Grigsby and I, have a running joke between us, because when my book came out, it had the badge. The cover is a lawman's badge with a dragon on top.
Oh, I know. And his cover.
And then he came out with the book about firefighters and dragons, and it had the badge with the dragon on top. So if you could do one that's fantasy paramedics, and we could get a badge and a dragon on top.
You know what? I'll mock up that cover just for grins.
We'd have a full on trifecta right there.
Yeah, Sean's books are great, and I think that, you know, between us, we cover all the gamut of first responderhood. So
yeah.
That's
well, and
cool.
I think part of the reason, and this was one of the things that drew me to the idea to start with, is since, and I'm certainly not putting down epic fantasy, because I love epic. I love big. When I started writing fantasy, big was what I did. And somewhere along the way, I was kind of like, you know what, maybe it would just be more interesting if I like focused a little more. And I decided it might be cool to like tell a story that just takes place in one place, you know, with these people going over the same ground that they walk over every single day. They're not leaving home to go on a big quest. They're not looking for buried treasure or fighting crazy dark lord or looking for a lost artifact. They're just going about their everyday business, and they get drawn into localized adventures that way. And I think that's why stuff like this, whether it's firefighters fighting a resurgence of dragons in the world, or, you know, even a fantasy paramedic thing. I think people like the idea of people doing everyday work in a crazy, fantastic setting.
And it gives you the freedom to like have recurring characters when you're in the same setting the whole time. Like,
yes,
you meet the shopkeeper or such and such a person that you run into every time you're on your shift or whatever. You can create some of those lovable, funny side characters that show up from time to time to kind of act
exactly.
as comic relief or whatnot.
Yeah, no, exactly. It gives you that chance to really create this sort of big teaming community. And that corresponds, I think, a little more to people's everyday lives. And so that's a fun thing for them to do, to be able to see everyday stuff transformed and spun into a fantasy setting where you also might have dwarves and elves and orcs and whatnot running around.
So what got you started writing? I know in the little bio you sent me, you talk about writing from the age of 5 or 6. I know I wrote, like, I love creative writing story things and all the way through school, whenever teachers gave us the opportunity to write something fun, that's what I wanted to do. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, that was and from the beginning, I mean, my earliest memories are of, like, going to big, awesome movies that blew me away and drew me off into these big, amazing worlds. Like, I was probably about 2.5 or 3 when I saw Star Wars in a theater for the first time. I was about the same age when I saw Superman, the movie, with Christopher Reeve, Star Trek, the motion picture, all that, and all of that stuff just, it got its hooks in my brain. And so I was already sort of predisposed to love this fantastic stuff. And I remember very clearly, this is so funny that it has stuck with me all these years, but being a little kid, 5 or 6 years old, watching an old rerun of an Andy Griffith show. And on the Andy Griffith show, he had his girlfriend, Helen Crump. And Helen, there was an episode where Helen sells a book. She, like, writes a children's book, and she's excited to tell Andy that the publisher wants to publish her book, and they sent her a check for so many hundred dollars. And as a kid, I remember thinking, like, oh, people write the books at the library, the books at school, the books, somebody writes those and somebody pays them for that. That sounds like a cool job. I'd like to do that someday.
What a neat memory.
Yeah, no. And that literally, that was the moment where I decided that that was what I wanted to do someday. And, you know, all through childhood, I cycled through a few different things I had interests in. And if you had asked me when I was a teenager or even in college, I was interested more in trying to pursue a career in film and write screenplays and maybe direct or something like that. But really, it was all just about storytelling. And I think of all of those as just different modes, but ultimately it's just telling stories. And yeah, so that was there from the very beginning. And I think I wrote my first story when I was probably about 6 years old in the first grade. It was written on the sort of newsprinty paper with the really wide spaced blue lines with the dotted line in the middle of each, so you can learn how to do lowercase and uppercase.
That's right. Well, you
letters.
Had to get the lowercase under the one line.
And, yeah. It was some crazy story about, like, a dark crystal in Santa's workshop that was bringing all the bad guy toys to life or something like that.
That's great. You know, it's funny. My mom gave me, when I got married, my mom cleaned out a box of stuff from the basement and gave me, like, all these old report cards and assignments she'd saved. And there were, like, 3 or 4, like, stapled together creative writing stories that I had to turn in and get graded over the years. And I had so much fun reading back through those and just kind of looking and going, wow, I've been doing this for a long time. I just never knew it.
Yeah. Well, and then again, later on, another big moment in my childhood was I was in the 4th grade, so I was about 9 or 10. And I had a teacher that she made creative writing like a subject we would do for a certain amount of time. I think it was only once a week in class, maybe twice a week. But I remember it was this demarcated thing, like, okay, now it's creative writing time. Everybody pull out your creative writing folders. And, you know, we would write our stories and she would read them. And then she would sit down with each of us and give us feedback on them. So it was my first experience with getting notes. and the idea that the first thing that you write isn't the thing you stick with. You write something and then you look at it and you decide, okay, I can make this better, and you do it again. And yeah, I mean, that simple lesson being taught when I was like 9 by this teacher who decided that that was going to be a priority for her. That was pretty cool. And again, it was a small thing, but it stuck with me and it made a difference.
So we'll get into the 5th word here in a minute to talk a little bit more about the characters there. But I was really struck by something you said earlier when you said you're the writer of the fantastical. And looking at the variety of things you've written about, from short story in an anthology of YA sci-fi, you've written short stories for horror. You really enjoy quite a wide range of stuff.
Yeah, no, I do. I think actually I even set out more in my teen years. I set out to be a horror writer. And little by little, I just sort of also realized that I kind of preferred the idea of a story where I like a story where people can be moving towards something, or whether it's solving a mystery or going on a quest or trying to stop something from happening. And sometimes horror stories are kind of tough to work in an environment like that, because they're more about atmosphere and feeling. But I kind of just incorporate all those things together in a lot of what I write. Like my first published work that came from a small press, my Doc Voodoo books, Aces and Eights being the first book, and Crossfire being the second one. Those are kind of throwbacks to like old school pulp fiction, like the spider or the shadow stuff from the late 1930s. Almost superhero comic books type stuff, but in prose, but also written with a lot of modern attitude. Even though it's a period setting, it's set in Prohibition, and it's about a voodoo-powered crime fighter in Prohibition-era Harlem. So you got gangsters, and you've got voodoo, and the first book has to do with like a curse engine. So there's actually a lot of like horror imagery and horror tropes thrown in there, along with gangster stuff and a mystery to be solved. So yeah, I guess I just kind of like mixing elements up. You know, it's like being a chef and just deciding on all your favorite ingredients and figuring out how you can put them all together in a way that creates a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts. But yeah, I like going in lots of different directions. That's something that, you know, hopefully as I go forward with my writing career, that's something I definitely want to do, is branch out into different directions and try different things.
So then you move on and you have the idea to do the buddy crime drama, right? Or the buddy crime show with, you know, set in a fantastic setting, set in a fantasy medieval world. Which is just a great idea, and to have the grumpy dwarf and the human who's, you know, they just don't get along. It's perfect. I mean, everybody knows the story, right? You know, it's Lethal Weapon. It's you know, pick your show, right?
Yeah, that was, I mean, and that was again a big part of my formative years. You know, a kid and a teenager watching movies. Like in the 80s and 90s, like buddy cop movies were just buddy movies in general. They were everything, you know, 48 Hours and Lethal Weapon and Bad Boys. And it just never stopped. And it seemed like a great way to, first of all, you've got the cop angle, and people love stories about cops. They love stories about people whose job it is to deal with society going wrong and trying to put things right again. It's a great way to examine a setting, whatever that setting happens to be, whether it's a fantastic city or a real world city. And the idea of putting these two characters together who kind of have to work together, but at first they're not entirely sure they can work together, gives you the opportunity to have different ideologies and different character types kind of butting heads and offering their different takes on things. And yeah, it was funny from the very beginning when the idea first occurred to me, I knew from the beginning it was going to be a human and a dwarf, even though I knew I wanted all the other races in there, elves and orcs and whatever else I might think to throw in. For some reason, that pairing of the man and the dwarf just it immediately sounded like the right thing to do.
No, it's great. And they run into a variety of different things. I know you've got two of the books are out right now, and the third one's forthcoming this summer. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, the first two came out in 2017 and 2018. The third book, Good Company, will be out in July. I want to say it's July 11th, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, in the second half of July, that'll be out this year.
I can actually look it up because it's July 9th.
Excellent.
There you go.
Oh, so it is in the first half of July.
There you go. That's perfect. No, and people are looking forward to that. They can actually already pre-order it. So that's kind of cool.
Yes.
It's always a handy thing to do. So I'm curious, you know, I like to talk about characters because I tend to like, it sounds like you started with the idea of what you wanted your characters to be, you know, the dwarf and the human. That elicits instantly a visual aid to work from, right? The, you know, the short, gruff guy and the,
Yeah.
So, you know, how much do you flesh out your characters before you start writing, or is this something you kind of have an idea in the back of your head and you just kind of let them expose who they are as you write?
Generally speaking, I am, when it comes to my storytelling, I am a huge planner. I do a lot of brainstorming and list making and timeline making, and I try to work up to a good outline, and then that's what I work from. Although I still, things always change when you get to work on the book. But with the characters, it's interesting. I'll usually have a general idea of who the characters are. I might have a notion of, I have these sort of questionnaires that I use for myself. That sounds ridiculous and mechanical, but it's a way of making sure I always ask myself the right questions and get the answers that I need. So I have these questionnaires that I use for building characters. And so I'm usually looking for, you know, what's the thing they're striving toward? What's the thing they're running away from? What's the thing they want most, and what's the thing they fear most? And between coming up with, I pin those things down to start with, but I often won't explain exactly why they are what they are. I'll just kind of feel it out and say, oh, I think this guy is, he's running away from his past, but I don't exactly know what's in his past. I'll figure that out while I'm writing the book. So yeah, the characters kind of grow in tandem with the world as I'm putting things together, but they grow the most when I'm actually writing the book. If anything, you could almost say that I do a lot of plot planning and I do a lot of world building before I start writing, because once I start writing, I want what the characters are doing and how they're interacting to be the thing that kind of has a life of its own and grows on its own, and the world around it is kind of already there. And I don't have to make a lot of decisions about, oh, what's happening here or what's over there or things like that.
It's interesting because I tried to do some, like some of the questionnaires that come in Scrivener, the writing program that I use, and you know, they have like a character template that you can use to, and it has those kind of questions in there. But I always fall back on, when I picture my characters, I always picture a particular actor or actress in a particular role.
And it may I not do that
have,
too.
It may not have anything to do with the story itself, but that character speaks to me for this particular part. And it helps me visualize them. It helps me think about their personality and their mannerisms. And that becomes what that character looks like. And they change over time and morph, but that's my starting point almost all the time for my main characters.
Yeah, no, that's a very common thing for me too. Again, coming from a background of, screenwriting and being a film geek for a long time and wanting to try and get somewhere in that world, but failing miserably to do so. Movies are, when I'm writing or when I'm reading, I'm seeing movies in my head anyway, and I'm casting them with existing actors. And when I'm writing, I'm listening to, I have soundtracks and I make my own sort of custom playlists and stuff. So I find that helpful, especially if I've got a big sprawling story to tell, because I need to keep track of who those characters are. And as you say, if it's an actor that I'm familiar with, an actor I like, that informs the mannerisms of that character, even if it's something, even if they're behaving in a way that I've never necessarily seen that actor behave in before. It's still just something about the that way I can hear their voices in my head more clearly. I can see their facial expressions and their movements. And yeah, that helps immensely as well with the visualization.
Yeah, I've told that story before, and I'm waiting for people to start like trying to guess who my characters are, you know, which actor is my character. No one's ever done that yet, but they'd be hard pressed because I get pretty obscure because I won't even answer them unless they can name the character and the part.
Nice.
They got to name the actor and the part they were playing when I was thinking about them.
Oh man.
You know, Val Kilmer in Top rough. Gun, right?
Exactly.
Not in Heat, but in Top Gun.
The funny part is I only got that question like once on Twitter, like a month or two after the first book came out. Somebody randomly asked me one day who would play Rim and Torval. And incidentally, the answer to that question is Ray Winstone, the guy who was in Sexy Beast uh-huh. and King Arthur, a big, stocky East End London actor. That's totally Torval, shrunken down to 4.5 feet tall, yeah. of course.
Right. And you then can do that in films nowadays. So
right, exactly. And Eddie Redmayne was the rim I had in my head.
Cool.
Although I've changed him over a couple times since then, but that was the rim that was in my head when I was writing the first book. I love answering questions like that, even if it's just having a coffee table discussion about your favorite books or your favorite characters and who should play what. You know, it's always fun to think about things like that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because I know you're active on Facebook and Twitter and people can reach out to you there. But, you know, I find that sometimes people are shocked when I answer them back. Do you get that too?
Every now and then, yeah. It's and I also remember that it wasn't that long ago that I was a person on Facebook or Twitter who wasn't, you know, I'm not terribly famous now. I'm still pretty obscure, but the point is you're out there and people know you through your work. And suddenly they want to talk to you and ask you questions. And I know how that feels. There are still writers and personalities that I follow on social media who I would be tickled pink if they actually answered one of my questions spoke to me or interacted with me, because it's kind of a cool feeling to think that there's a safe way for people and the people who do work that they admire to interact with each other, or that they enjoy even, to just interact with each other and feel that they can have a conversation, or, I mean, even just the direct thrill of somebody saying, you know, somebody putting up a tweet saying, I just read First Watch and man, that book was a lot of fun. You just made my day. You didn't have to ask me a question. You didn't have to actually even interact with me. You just said that my book made you feel good. And that definitely makes my day.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And actually doing this podcast has been a joy, because I get to talk to you, get to talk to a bunch of different authors, but I've had the opportunity to interview two pretty amazing authors that I've read since I was much younger.
Well, I know you, Ellie Medesit, just a couple of weeks ago, right?
That was like amazing. And I felt like Sheldon Cooper meeting William Shatner on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's totally true. I mean, I remember once writing a letter to, the times I've written letters to authors and gotten responses, it's like, holy cow, that's amazing how that works. You know, that was back in the days before we had social media. But just knowing that somebody took the time to respond to your comments or your questions, because you're sure that everybody's got something else they should probably be doing, but they still took the time to speak to you. How awesome is that? But yeah, getting to do the podcast, I would imagine, is a huge thrill, because you get to talk to all kinds of people from all over the place.
And I get to talk story, which I love to do. I get to talk characters, which I love to do. And then, I get to talk to people like Lee Modesit and Robin Hobb and you and a bunch of other folks that, just so much fun to just, say, there's the story, here's the person. And let's connect the dots in between. So that's kind of cool. So last question for you, figuring out here, what, you're finishing up, you already finished up obviously the third book, cause it's in production at this point.
Yes.
So can you tell us or give us a hint on what direction you're going in right now? Are you working on anything else you can talk about?
I'm not going to talk about it too much. I've got one particular thing that I'm working on right now, that I'm about maybe a quarter of the way through a first draft. I've pitched a bunch of stuff, I'm waiting to hear on that. I would love to continue the Fifth Ward series, because the way I've structured them, it's not like a trilogy or anything like that. I just wanted a series of, police stories that could each kind of stand alone, even though you're watching the characters grow and change over time. So I would love to go back to that world and do more there, but still waiting to hear how that's going to go. So right now, I'm not sure what comes next, except that I'll definitely be doing something. I got work on the way. So you'll hear more from me.
That's good. That's good to know. So if they want to hear more from you, where's the best place for them to reach out to you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You can find me in either one of those places. And I love to have people follow me. I do have a word of warning on Facebook. I have both a personal page and an author page. Go to the author page because I try to save the personal page for people I actually know, or people I, you know, have a little more of a personal interaction with. So the author page is the best way to start and to reach out to me. But yeah, Twitter also, you can find me there very easily. And I welcome any and all comers. I love answering questions and I love talking to people.
Yeah. And we'll have the links in the show notes for that. But they can look you up on Facebook, author Dale Lucas and Dale Lucas 114 on Twitter.
Yeah.
So,
correct.
We've got that and we'll link to those so they can go to fantasy-focus.com and find the links for all that for your episode here. And, Dale, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. I appreciate it.
Just a question that occurred to me. If you could have me interview any author, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. I am a huge fan of Tim Powers. I don't know if you've ever read him. He specializes in what a lot of people call secret history, where he'll take some actual thing that happened historically, and he'll come up with this secret supernatural explanation for why it happened. And he's just, his work is amazing. And I've always been a huge, huge fan and admirer of his. So Tim Powers would be a great interview for you, I think. And if you haven't read any of his work, you should definitely check it out.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the Fantasy Focus community, both on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also on our website over at fantasy-focus.com, you can find each podcast episode post. And of course, that's the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. You'll find links to subscribe to the show on each of those posts. So if you're having trouble finding it for some reason, you can just click those links and it'll take you right to the episodes that you want to get based upon the device you're using. So if you're using iOS, it'll open up the iOS podcast app. If you are in an Android and you have a podcasting app that's a favorite of yours, if it's one of the popular ones, it'll also open up and subscribe automatically there as well. Heck, you can even subscribe by email if you want. But do subscribe so you don't miss any of the episodes. We do have some pretty awesome people coming up you don't want to miss, that's for sure. And that includes Haley Stone coming up on the very next podcast. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Read. Please don't forget to follow me in some way, shape, or form. You can do that over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books or at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter. Whatever you do, though, subscribe to this show and come back here for the next podcast. In the meantime, I'm reminding you to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.